Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama. We want to thank our listeners on Radio Alabama at 98.3 Fox FM. And again, another beautiful Saturday morning here in Mobile, Alabama, as we become closer to the start of fall athletics. And this week, we learned some counties and some school systems decided to go ahead and push off and delay their start or delay or cancel fall athletics altogether. We'll go in depth with that momentarily. But joining me, as always, is Mark Lassiter. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here again this morning, and I hope everybody's doing well. And I guess everybody who got in there, went ahead and started their fall football practices this week. I hope it all went well for everyone. And I know it's different. And, you know, I bet I've had good grief calls from all kinds of, you know, buddies of mine that are coaching or have stopped coaching or retired or just to see how, you know, things are going. And I think we'll talk about it throughout the show. There's a lot of different things you do now. To get to practice, but once practice starts, you just follow your guidelines that you've been set in place, and you coach them up. You know, that's what we do, and you know, right now it's working. I hope it continues to do that. You know, and like everybody said, this is a fluid situation, but man, it's good to be out coaching football again and doing some things. It's been like, gosh, what was it, back March, end of March, when we kind of let the kids go. Now, we got them back for the summer, but once practice actually starts, it's like, boom, here we go. And so, yeah, man, it's a great great Saturday morning down here on the Gulf Coast, and I hope everybody's doing well. Beautiful weather. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Practice social distance. The only way we're going to be able to keep doing stuff is to follow those guidelines. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. Follow the guidelines, keep this thing under control, and let's move forward.
You know, and here's the thing, Coach, and Rick Cleveland, we give you our blessings and our prayers as you continue to recover from your knee replacement surgery. And just couldn't start the show without giving a shout-out to my main man, Rick Cleveland, who I know is listening at home, and want to thank my mom, Sarah Lynn Andrews, for always tuning in on Saturday mornings too. But Coach, going back to what you just mentioned, how fluid the situation is with COVID. Different counties throughout the state at any given time become hot spots. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Montgomery was one of the hottest spots in the country, and now their cases have died down, but it's on a county by county basis. The first football games are scheduled for August 20th. And again, all fall activities, swimming and diving, volleyball, football, and cross country are so far a go, except in Barber County. And Barber County came out this week and went ahead and put a pause on all fall athletics. And you see a couple of other schools, such as Muscle Shoals and Deschler, went ahead and pushed and are going to reschedule their original kickoff date for August 20th. Now is going to be played on September 25th. And you start to look around, you had Greene County and Lee counties go ahead and say, look, we're going to put COVID in front of our student athletes, and we want to make sure everyone is safe in regards to that. And again, you can't be angry or upset about that situation, because you know the kids are tremendously disappointed. But if you have hot spots and cases are continuing to rise, there's no way that those counties feel that they're able to play football.
It's a matter of, you know, people looking at what's their situation for themselves. And like Coach Savory said last week, you know, he reiterated the point that it's your personal decision. As a individual, as a parent, as a player, what you want to do. It's a school district's decision, what they want to do. And I'm, you know, I'd be willing to bet this is something that every single school district, private school board, whatever legislative group or whatever you call it, decision-making group gets together. They get together and they talk about these. And it's talked a lot. It's not something that's just done flippantly. And I can assure you, I would think, you know, in my little brain that people are not going to do away with things unless they deem the problem they're doing it away because of is very dangerous. And, you know, if you look at the statistics, I don't want to talk about sitting here and talk about COVID all day today. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I'm about tired of it, but it's something, it's a real fact, and we have to face it. But, you know, COVID, as we've looked at the numbers, if I got this correctly, now somebody can call in or text in or let me know that, you know, I'm completely wrong. But not many people under 40, I think, really suffered greatly from this. I don't know of very few the percentage of the people. Most people whose health is pretty good, if they do contract the virus, usually get well. You know, I think it's 98, 97 something percent recover if you're in that age, in those age groups. Okay. Over that, most people still recover in that group, but there are a lot of people who have passed away. Most of those folks have underlying conditions. And so, as we talked to our people around us, you know, do what we're told to do, not just for you, but for people around you, mm-hmm. for your loved ones at home. You know, I don't want to get this thing from anywhere. You know, I don't want to get it because I have a heart condition. Everybody knows that. My heart's in pretty good shape with how the doctors have taken care of me, but still, I don't know how this thing is going to affect if I get it, you know, and I don't want to bring it home. I don't want to bring it home to my house. You know, my mother and father-in-law live with us, and they're, you know, up in age, and thank the good Lord, they're in pretty decent health, you know, but, you know, I would hate to see them, either one, contract this, and they stay pretty much wrapped up at the house, you know. And so these things we're doing is not just for so we can play football. It's so we can get back to school, get back to normalcy, and keep our people and our loved ones safe as best we possibly can.
No question about it. You can always call in to the Prep Sports Report, 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. We would love to hear from you and get your thoughts on the start of fall athletics in these high schools. And Gadsden City Superintendent, you know, he's going to continue to monitor it. You do have Barber County, who canceled sports for the entire year, not just for the fall, but the entire year. And I think it's easier to cancel it for the entire year and go ahead and walk it back if there's a situation that presents itself in the winter and the spring that allows these student athletes, if we find a way for this, the curve to continue to dip, if there's a way for student athletes to participate, I guarantee Barber County will go ahead and find a way for them to do that. But I misspoke earlier. It's Greene and Sumter counties who have canceled their fall athletics also, not for the entire season, just for their fall athletics. So it's Greene and Sumter counties that will cancel for the fall. And moving forward, I think that you'll start to see, as the season progresses week by week, we just want to make it to kickoff. And Coach Savary spoke on this in his press conference. He spoke on this on our show a week ago. You know, we just want to give these student athletes in all sports an opportunity to get started. And once they get started, you can kind of weigh the options, what works better for attendance, what works best for your local systems, and let the home teams go ahead and make the decisions. I saw a special this week on NBC 15 that spoke on the bands. And I think this is a wonderful directive from the band standpoint, and it limits attendance to where the bands and the cheerleaders are as much a part of high school football as anyone else, but only the home team band will be allowed to perform. And that way it cuts out on the travel for the visiting band. It cuts out on the number of people who are in the stands. And I really thought that that was a great idea moving forward for those band members. And we know that there's going to be a dramatic and drastic drop in attendance in the football games, volleyball games, cross-country meets. But again, it's all for the safety of the public. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. And coming up next, we have a special coach coming up all the way from North Alabama to give us some great news within his program.
CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey Labounty, joined with Mark Lassiter. And we're taking your phone calls on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines at 251-343-0106. And joining us this morning from North Alabama on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines is the head football coach of Boaz, Jeremy Sullivan. Coach, good morning, and thank you for making your debut on the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Coach, good to have you on, man. As if, well, we love getting folks from different areas of the state. My name is Mark Lassiter, and I'm from kind of that area up there outside of Gadsden. It's on, I think it's 431 rolls up there through that. So, man, we're glad to have you on here. And Coach has got Corey's going to tell you some things or talk to you about some things. But great job up there at Boaz, Alabama, by the way.
Appreciate it, Coach. I remember when you were at Fairhope when I used to recruit down that way.
That's right.
I remember
running
into you at Fairhope. I was at Jacksonville State at one time.
I was sitting there thinking when Corey told me who was on, and I'm going, man, I know that name, and I couldn't. But now I put the two and two together. And so, man, it's good to talk to you again.
You too, Coach.
Coach, you had something very special occur with all the negativity and all the down, everything that you hear that's bad in high school athletics right now. You had just a very inspirational story this week that has gone viral, not only here in the state of Alabama, but nationwide. And it's dealing with a young freshman player that you have, Mr. Ortega is his last name. Kind of tell us the backstory on what happened with Mr. Ortega and how his teammates decided to chip in and help him out.
Yeah, well, last year was his first year playing football as an eighth grader. So this year he moved up. We practice we lift everybody in the summer, 9 through 12 together. And so he had been coming to our workouts and conditioning this summer. He got to know the other guys kind of got to know him. He misses for about 2 days. And so, of course, anytime somebody misses, we go looking for him. So we coaches go and find him. And the reason he wasn't coming, he had been riding his bike to workouts, and his bike had tore up, and so he was having to walk. And it's about 4 miles round trip. So he just didn't know if he could keep doing that, and he didn't know if he was going to be able to play. So I'd shared that with the team one day just to let them know where he was. And once they found out, I guess they decided to do something about it. So they came to me last week, last Monday, and wanted to buy him a bike. And so they bought him a bike, and then the video that's going around is them presenting him that bike at after practice on Monday. And so it's been a touched a lot of people. It's been a great thing to have out there.
And Coach, I think that's just one of the great things and really gut-wrenching, heartwarming things that sports can do. It turns your guts inside out and just gives you that fuzzy feeling when you know that young people are stepping up for teammates. You're only going to be as strong as your weakest link. And in that situation, the weak link was Mr. Ortega not being able to get to practice. And you don't want to see any of your teammates fail. Football teams teaches and at high school athletics teach more so about life and life skills than people possibly imagine. You pay your money, you're entertained to see 2 hours worth of high school football or 3 hours worth of college football, but the life lessons that are learned that were generated by your own players and not by yourself is what it's all about.
There's no doubt, Corey. The you know, just seeing those kids do that on their own, you know, you work as a football coach, you want to put that stuff in them, you know, caring about people, helping people when they can, being a team and taking care of each other. And, you know, to see that they may have gotten some of that. Now, that ain't just a coach and a program thing. Obviously, their parents and their community and their churches have all taught them the, you know, the right thing to do, and it just makes you feel like maybe you've added a little to that and that you're headed in the right direction. And also, I got a 14-year-old that's out there with him, and I want him to be around guys like that. So it was a special moment, and I think it speaks highly of the character of those guys and highly of their parents and highly of our community that we live in.
No question about that. It gives me the goosebumps once I saw that video. Coach, for those who would like to see the video, can you give us your Twitter feed or the school's Twitter feed in which this is going so people can take a look at exactly the actions and how it all occurred?
If they'll look at the Boaz City Schools Twitter feed, I can't remember that, but if they'll just search Boaz City Schools, I think it's posted on everything we got. So, all of our people and all of our Twitter have retweeted it and put it out there. Originally, our AD, Patrick Williams, was the one that posted it on Twitter first. And then on Facebook, it's been, I don't know, I can't keep up with who all's got it. But if they look at anything that's Boaz City Schools, they should be able to find it.
That's an awesome thing, Coach. And, those kind of stories is what, like you said, it's what it's all about. It's what we do this for. And you want stuff like that to blow up and go all over the country in a time of so much despair and so much, hate you see all around and darkness. It seems like there's a light shining through that lets everybody know there's still good in people and good things can come of it. And I appreciate you letting us get a part of that today. But I really want to ask, too, how summer's gone, how you're getting ready to play your football season coming up.
Well, I think it's gone well. We got, the character of the kids is evident in that video, and that's what we see from them every day. This is one of my favorite groups I've ever had. This will be my 6 years as a head coach, and I've been in coaching for a long time, I guess 20 years now. But the character of those kids is what what you're always looking for. And of course, it seems like we're really close as a team. I'll tell you about the way the summer's going. One Friday night, about 7:30, I get a call. This is the week before we started practice. That Friday night before practice started, I get a call from some kids. They wanted me to come unlock the field for them so they could throw. So I get up here, and there's 18 kids up here wanting to do extra work on a Friday night at like 7:30. So that'll kind of tell you what kind of kids I'm dealing with.
Now, this will be your fourth year, if I'm not mistaken, as the head football coach of the Boaz Pirates, and I know you're really looking forward to it. Is your first game still scheduled for August 21st at Hayden?
Yes, sir. I talked to Coach Register over at Hayden this past week, and for right now, until somebody tells us different, that's when we're playing. It'll be August 21st at Hayden.
And I know you're really looking forward to that. You look at that region, consists of Crossville, West Point, Sardis, Fairview, Douglas, and Gunnersville. So I know you're really excited to get you're moving from Region 6 to Region 7, possibly seeing some new opponents as well.
Yeah, we are. We got rid of Etowah, which is a good thing for us because they're really, really, really good. And we added West Point and Fairview, who are both good football teams, but I think people we can be a little more competitive with. If you look at that region, the history and the tradition that Gunnersville has probably makes them the favorite. And then after that, it's just kind of a big clump of folks. And I'm hoping that our goal is to play a home playoff game. So I'm hoping we can get that accomplished.
You know, that'd be a great thing when you were talking about that schedule. And I know that Boaz-Gunnersville game is kind of a rivalry game up there, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It absolutely is. It's one of the county games that And this county's kind of unique that your rivalry, everybody's about the same size school, except now Albertville's gotten bigger than everybody, but everybody's kind of in that 5A, 6A range. And so the city schools within the county, all of those are big rivalries, us and Arab, us and Albertville, us and Gunnersville, and them with each other. And so it's kind of unique in that way, and it makes for some good football.
Head football coach Jeremy Sullivan of the Boaz Pirates joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Coach, thank you so much for being a part of the Prep Sports Report, and we look forward to speaking with you throughout the football season. And just a great job, and tell those young men from down here in Mobile, Alabama, continue to keep up the great work and just make each other better. We love to see that. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you for everything y'all do to promote high school football. We need all the good stories out there we can get.
You're right, buddy.
Exactly right. Head football coach Jeremy Sullivan of the Boaz Pirates joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lassiter, Ian. Taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communications lines. Leanne doing a wonderful job being our producer this morning. She's on the board getting this in and getting us in and out on time this morning. So we thank her very much for sitting in this morning with us. And, you know, football, of course, is what there's been a lot of talk of. And because of football and just trying to make it week by week, there has been some type of indication that the Super 7 was supposed to occur this year, December 2nd through the 4th. In Tuscaloosa this year, as the last 2 years, it's been held at Jordan-Hare Stadium just because of all the construction and everything that was going on at Bryant-Denny. But because the SEC this week is looking to revise their schedule and the championship game is not going to be played in the SEC until December 19th, now you're looking at a situation to where Alabama and Auburn this season are supposed to play at Bryant-Denny. Now, if the schedule is pushed back, I think the AHSAA is in a situation where they're going to have meetings this week about contingency plans. And that's something that, since COVID has come along, there's always been a way to have contingency plans. And I'll never forget, maybe 3 years ago, when UMS Wright wins their football state championship in the snow in Alabama in early December, you know, what contingency plan do you really have to play football? Because football, you play that in all type of environments, weather environments. And that was a situation to where the contingency plan could have been to push it back a couple of hours. But now when you're looking at a stadium, I guarantee there are other stadiums across the state of Alabama that would be available the 2nd through the 4th. So now the state this week is going to look at possibly having to relocate the state high school championship football game.
That's correct. They won't know until they get the SEC schedule comes out and it tells everybody exactly where they're going to be and what they're going to be doing. So that's kind of on hold. And like we said, this thing is always changing. It's an ever-changing time we live in. So we just flow with it and go with it and have plans, different plans to go different places. And they'll work it out one way or the other. They'll figure out some place for us all to go play. And, you know, I don't think this will happen, but worst came to worst, you could always go home and home sites. I mean, your home, not home and home, but your home site, depending on wherever it went, you could have it at the local high school, I guess. I don't really know. I mean, I'm speaking way out of turn there. So I'm just, you know, that's going to be something that has to be decided. But we should know probably in the next couple of weeks the SEC schedule. And I know Coach Sav and all the guys up at the central board will be having a plan. If it doesn't happen there, where do we go next? and have some sort of outline for us to follow.
You know, one of the concerns that I've heard this week and really throughout this entire pandemic is when the state allowed student athletes to come back to campus on June 1st. You had to have that week to where you became acclimated to what the COVID procedures would be, to what you're coming with the face mask, to wiping down all your exercise equipment, just to have a new protocol, what the newness of this virus has done as far as from a participation standpoint and from a safety standpoint. Now you're in a situation to where you're having maybe pads and helmets being put on this week by your football teams, and you're going to have some of these teams that are playing this August 20th date, and I've heard from numerous high school coaches that they wish they would have had just a little bit of extra time. They're really excited to get back, but here in the state of Alabama, you know, August is really the dog days of summer, to where you're already participating where the heat index can get up to 115 degrees when you're starting to practice in all the heat and pads. So what we'll start to see probably a lot of is a lot more cramping if we're able to make it to that first week of August 20th, 21st, and moving forward into the early weeks of September. Not to mention you're dealing with all the tropical storms that come off the coast of Africa, and just having to say, all right, now we know we're going to have to beat the heat, but knowing and having your trainers and your coaches acclimated to the policies that are at hand to make sure your players are properly hydrated, not only from a football standpoint, but from across country, volleyball, band, and across the board.
Absolutely, and it's something we discuss as coaches. We've discussed as our everybody has some sort of board, which helps you make decisions about what you do and how to do it. And, you know, the kids, probably the safest thing that I have been able to think about is for every kid to bring his own water one way or another. And hopefully they'll get those little coolers, put ice in it, you know, and just bring it with them. It worked in 1982. My first job, well, I'll never forget, at Hewitt Trussell Junior High School. I had gotten hired, and the practice had already started when I got hired. So I drove up out there to practice one day, my first day, and there was these water coolers all up and down this little field. Everywhere. I was going, what in the world? That was the kids' water. Back we didn't practice on the school. We had to go across into this quad area of this. It was owned by the school, but it wasn't a practice field. But it was a nice little piece of grass. We got out there, but it had water coolers everywhere. And we did that back then. And it's kind of the same thing now. A lot of people have come up with different plans for it, which is fine and good. But that probably, to me, is the easiest, safest for them to bring. For the coaches, it is kind of a pain for the kids. And they have to bring all their stuff plus a water cooler. But anything that you can do to help you know, not have any more interchange of anything, items between people, helps keep this thing under wraps.
One of the outdoor sports in the state of Alabama is your cross-country athletes. And this past week, Hoover coach Devon Hine was named track and field and cross country national coach of the year. And when you start talking about being a national coach of the year, that's pretty impressive. The U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association selected Hine as the boys coach of the year, and he's guided Hoover to 4 straight class 7A boys indoor titles and 6 of 9 championships, along with 7 girls titles since the sport was restarted. And coach says his goal is to win it every year, and what better place for him to do so at that 7A level than Hoover High School. And you start talking about national coaches of the year in their prospective sports, and Schilling definitely comes to mind. Coach Tate, who just retired for St. Paul's, he definitely comes to mind. And here's another one right here in the state of Alabama, Devon Hine, who is selected for this prestigious award as our cross-country runners prepare for this fall season also.
You know, it's a great award, and it's an award that is not done just for what you did in one year. It's an award that what you've done building a program over time, in my opinion. That may be 3 or 4 years, but whatever it is, it's something you get for doing that year in and year out, to be recognized throughout the country You know, there can be you can have a year where, man, you just got all the talent in the world, and those kids get out there, and it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's so many times we had football teams that I coached that, you know, those kids made me look like a really smart coach, and they'd get out there and play their fannies off, and they did great. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is players, getting, you know, and getting them there. But coaches who can do it throughout and just continuous, you know, when the years when you don't have the great athletes and you're still competitive and you're still in the hunt and you're still there, sometimes you peak late and win it all when you're not supposed to. But those guys who can just continually do it year in and year out and have great have a great program, those are the ones who end up in that national limelight, and well-deserved for Coach, and that's a great thing for him to have.
And again, anything that shines a positive light, not only to the state of Alabama, it just goes to speak to Coach. Like you said, the consistency that we have from the coaches here in the state of Alabama across the board in all sports is what makes me so proud to say, well, where are you from? And I say Mobile, Alabama. And they go to talking about Hoover, or they go to talking about Vestavia, or they go to talking about Blount and Vigor or McGill. So many great athletic programs, Thompson, across the United States of America that are recognized not only just for football, but now you're starting to see us produce a lot of great basketball players. And we have track and field athletes to continue to excel, but are being coached up at such a tremendous and high level. And how blessed and fortunate we are in our state of Alabama to have such great coaches.
You're absolutely right. And you know, the thing about it is, and we all know this, every coach is not great at everything he does. But every coach worth his salt loves kids. And if you love kids, in my opinion, you're a great coach. Because so many, if you don't, if you're in this deal as a coach, I don't care if it's Little League baseball, Little League football, it's about you, then you're in the wrong profession. Because it's just, it can't be that way. It's got to be about those kids. And, you know, and like you said, Coach, we have great coaches in this area down here. We got coaches that just love kids. We got coaches that work very hard to make sure those kids have an opportunity to perform at their highest level. And, you know, too many times, you know, people group people together. We say, oh, I'm coach is not worth a flip. You know, yada, yada, I've heard that before, you know. And you go, well, you don't really know what goes on in that field house or that building or how hard those guys are working to do whatever they're doing. But in this area and in our state, we have a lot of great coaches. We got some coaches that don't do things right.
Sure.
We do. That's like any other profession in this world. You know, we got preachers who are great preachers. We got some preachers who don't do things right. We can go on and on and on. But for the most part, if you really watch what goes on, the guys who were really, to me, successful coaches over a long period of time are the ones who love kids and do things right by kids and make sure they try to be the best person they can possibly be.
No question about it. My best friend Gene Smith, listening in Houston, Texas this morning on his way to work, as he sells Maseratis, he always talks about, look, you can feel a certain way, but our players and coaches, the way our coaches are able to coach up our players, they make all the players feel like Maseratis. You all feel like a luxury car, and because of it, you start to see these luxury products move on to these secondary schools and be very, very successful, not only athletically, but academically as well. And that's what it's all about, Coach. We'll be right back right here on PSR.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for Rick Cleveland, who's recovering from knee replacement surgery. We wish him the best. Mark Lasseter in the studio with me, Miss Leanne running our boards, and Ian is taking your telephone calls at 251-343-0106. I received a phone call this week, about our show, the Prep Sports Report, and we always love to highlight young student athletes. And whether you're in high school or not, when something positive happens from an athlete standpoint, we always like to talk about it. And I received a phone call and an email from Mr. Goodman Ledyard, and he wanted to talk about a Stingers baseball program and a Stingers baseball team. And the Stingers are a local 8-and-under baseball team, and they are comprised of players from Mobile Municipal Park. And they just won the USSA Global World Series, which concluded last Sunday in Orange Beach, Alabama. And the team played against experienced club teams and won the championship game in extra innings in dramatic fashion. And the team head coach is David Fromdahl. And they also won the GSSA All-Star Super Regional in Pace, Florida the preceding week. And the Stingers also won the GSSA World Series in Gulfport, Mississippi on June 21st. And I just wanted to give a shout out to those coaches and players this morning. And those coaches are Lewis Howell, Kim McClure, Trip Metter, Josh Meek, and Stephen Baker. And the players are Buck Baker, Braxton Crawford, Aiden Eager, Murphy Fromdahl, Monroe Howell, Griffin Ledyard, Mac McClure, Phillips Metter, Benjamin Meek, William Nettles, and Bryce Williams. Congratulations to the Stingers. Again, an 8-and-under baseball team from Mobile Municipal Park winning the USSA Global World Series in Orange Beach, Alabama. Wanted to give them a shout-out this morning as they continue to, again, represent their community to the fullest. So congratulations, guys. Also going on in the state of Alabama as we're moving forward, we talked about at the beginning of the show just trying to find matchups that are actually going to occur on August 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And this week, a pair of defending football state champions are going to play on the 22nd, and this is your 7A state champion and your 6A state champion. It's going to be the Thompson Warriors taking on the Oxford Yellow Jackets, and that game is going to be held at Thompson High School at 7 o'clock p.m. on August 22nd, and that's going to be a Saturday. And the great thing about not only this state championship matchup is 70% of all sponsorship dollars from the game will go to support childhood cancer awareness and the Children's Hospital of Alabama. And last year, they were able to donate more than $8,000 from the Go-Go Bowl to charity. And again, I know the pandemic probably will limit the size of the crowd, but again, donations and ticket revenue up to 70% of that gate. And I guarantee the gate that is not earned because butts can't be in the stands due to the pandemic will be made up by generous donations. But what not only a great football game, but what a great charitable cause between two outstanding football programs.
Absolutely. And that is two great programs. And I got two good men that are really leading those two programs. And whoever came up with that idea for this to be a charity event, kudos to you and your whatever group it was, or if it was just an individual, I don't really know much about it, but I know what a wonderful thing that is to have something that goes out and tries to reach out and help people that they don't even know that, you know, that are touched by this dreaded disease. And hopefully the turnout will be as good as it can be. You put as many people in there as you can, as we're allowed. And then we have people who step up and donate to it to try to make up the difference. And, you know, I think it's a great chance for people to do this. And it's a great chance to show just what really matters in our country today.
I agree, Coach. I mean, again, this is the second annual Go-Go Bowl. They were able to reach out last year. But when you start talking about having a state champion in our largest classification of 7A, taking on the state defending state champion from our second largest state classification, that's a huge football event, because I know, you know, coaches like to put things in the rearview mirror, but you're looking at Thompson going 12-1 last year and Oxford going 14-1 last year with a lot of returning pieces to the puzzle. two premier programs getting after it in week zero, technically. That's something that, again, I don't think it will put their season in reverse after week zero, but it sure can propel you into a different stratosphere as far as, hey, look, our offseason work really has paid off, and it makes you focus even harder on your opening opponent.
It does. And, you know, it's one of those things where, and I'm sure you're going to hear both coaches make the same statement about, you know, the what we want in this ball game is to not make it bigger than it really is. It's a ball game. It's like playing anybody else. It's a big game because it's the next game. So when you go in and play the game, all you want your kids to do is play as hard as they possibly can, work as hard as they can. When it's all said and done, you're going to be like, yeah, this is a great step. If you win the game, it'll be, you know, it solidifies what you did. If you don't win the game, but you played as hard as you could and you did a good job playing, it's something you can still use to propel you. Now, if you go in there and just slop around and you don't give great effort, then you got bigger problems than losing that ball game, because it's gonna be a lingering effect unless somebody gets that ship righted real quick. But that ball game should be one that the kids and the coaches all understand what it's all about. It's a game to play, and they're going to compete. I promise you, those two coaches are going to compete. It'll be quite a ball game. What effect it'll have on the rest of the season, confidence for one, something to build on for the other.
The greatest improvement that I hear from coaches across the board, whether it's middle school, high school, or college, is from week one to week two. So that's the matchup that you definitely look forward to. Go ahead and correcting all the errors, finding a way to get better. And would you agree with that assessment also, Coach, the greatest improvement in football is from week one to week two?
Absolutely. I'll never forget that. I think the first time I really ever heard that was from Coach Savarese. We were in a meeting after our first ball game, 85, I think it was. And he made that statement. He said, we got to make some changes. You know, the greatest amount of changes usually come after that first game, because you find out then, especially an unknown situation, kids you haven't seen. That was his first year. That was my first year. We didn't know what a lot of those kids could or could not do. We'd seen, we had heard, we'd watched, saw in practice, and we made a few adjustments and changed it around. And it benefited you, because you find out kids, you see them not in a practice setting, but in a game setting, how they are in the game, you know, how they do in the game, how they handle the pressure, how they handle the bad things that happen, how they handle the good things that happen. From there, and you can move forward in the next week about changing any positions you need to change.
Coming up next on the Prep Sports Report, hour number two, Adam Weingarten, the head football coach at Auburn High School, scheduled to join us.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty. This
is the day. Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, hour number two here, coming from the beautiful Mobile, Alabama. That's our location, Coach, and 52 weeks out of the year, we're right here enjoying the Prep Sports Report, and we're blessed to do that with all our fine sponsors, and would not be possible without our fine sponsors allowing us to be on the air 52 weeks out of the year and supporting high school athletics.
That's right, and I hope everybody goes onto our Facebook page, and I think they're all on there. There's a picture of each one of them that are these guys. What they do is they support something they think is important, to share a message and praise and build kids up. That's the mission of this show, is to praise kids up, build schools up, build coaches, build communities, and talk about the good things that are happening in those programs. And we don't spend time talking about the negatives. There's enough out there. Let's talk about the good things that are going on. And so we thank our sponsors for allowing us to be on the air to do this every Saturday morning. And, you know, I think it's working. I have a lot of people who stop and tell me, you know, Coach, that y'all do a great job with that show. And it's not about us. It's about what the show means. And I think it's a great thing. And thank you to our sponsors who help us get that all done.
And we're trying to efforting. We're efforting to get Adam Weingarten, who is the head football coach of the Auburn Tigers, in Auburn, Alabama. And if we're able to get him, we'll be able to kind of talk to him about his program and where they're looking to go here in the 2020 football season, because I know they had a strong squad 1 year ago. So I think that with that being said, you never know what they have coming back. And they're always finding a way. In the past years, when McGill Toulon and Auburn were both 7A, McGill's now moving to a 6A squad, so you won't see that rivalry or that matchup. But you always knew that the Auburn Tigers were going to bring a great football team either here to Mobile to play, or us having to travel here locally in the Mobile-Baldwin County area to take on those Auburn Tiger teams.
You know, the Auburn, and we have a pretty good connection with Auburn. We have Coach Tim Carter, who's at Fairhope now, who was a coach there. And now Adam Weingarten, who was at Fairhope, is now at Auburn. And so you have these coaches who both men brought a lot of good things to that program, each of them in a different way. And both of them are to be commended for the job that they do and have done at all the schools they have gone to. You know, Coach Carter's doing a great job at Fairhope, and just appreciate him and his staff and what they mean to that city and to Baldwin County, and for how they teach and coach those kids there. And Coach Weingarten did the same thing while he was at Fairhope, and he's doing the same thing at Auburn. You know, he's got quite a he thinks outside the box on coaching and teaching kids. And he has an entire program on how to develop the entire kid, or entire player. And it can be used in any sport, not just football. But they go a long way. He goes a long way above and beyond just going out and coaching a football team and telling them a little something. He does a lot of things to help them do that. And I'm not even going to go in it, because if we get him on, he'll talk about that some, how his vision is and what that means for his program. I know this, even all these years later, when my son Landon, played for Coach Weingarten at Fairhope through his junior year, and then Landon, of course, transferred to Bayside. And even through all that time and afterwards, Coach Weingarten still gives me a note or a little message, or he keeps up with Landon, which I think is really special. You know, he's in Auburn now. He's way away from Landon's doing his own thing, but he always kind of keeps up and wants to know how he's doing. And to me, that tells you a lot about the man himself.
You start looking across the state of Alabama and different classifications, coaching changes. One that really jumps out at me, and hopefully we'll be able to get head football coach Sam Shade of Pinson Valley on with us here on PSR here within the next couple of weeks prior to the season starting. The change that was made between Shades Valley and Central of Phoenix City. Central of Phoenix City, you're talking about losing a great coach, a legacy coach, and Coach DuBose. Moving on, Patrick Nix leaves a Shades Valley program to where he had an opportunity to win a couple of state championships, and now Patrick Nix steps in for Central of Phoenix City. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this program continues and what kind of football they're able to play.
You know, Jamie DuBose is a guy who I think has done a really good job wherever he's been. I know when he and I were fortunate enough to coach together at Alma Bryant, he did a fantastic job there with us offensively, and he's just gone on and done a great job, and now he's over in Georgia. And, you know, he took Phoenix City to places they really have always, you know, wanted to be and have been there before, but he put them on the top of the mountain there for a couple of years, and what a great job he did there. And now you get Patrick Nix, who comes down, and, you know, I remember when he was playing quarterback at Auburn, I remember watching him play, and always thought that he was just, man, that guy is a heady coach. He's smart. I mean, heady player, smart, knew what he was doing, and also was very good leading his team as a quarterback. And he's doing the same thing as a father, and as a coach there. He did it at Pinson Valley, and he's going to do it at Phoenix City. It's a, you know, losing Jamie Dubose in a lot of ways hurt Phoenix City. Picking up Patrick Nixon in a lot of ways is going to help Phoenix City. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch that, but don't think that Phoenix City is going away. Patrick Nixon, I'm ready to play.
One of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the show and the top of our first hour were the counties or the schools that weren't able to participate in fall athletics. And again, now two counties in the Black Belt region, Greene County and Sumter County, we had a texter wanting to know what schools are so far affected by COVID-19 and what sports would be postponed. Well, we know Greene County and Sumter County announced they will not participate in fall sports, and that means you won't have football, volleyball, cross-country teams this year, or swimming and diving if those schools had a swimming and diving team. We know that Barber County, a team that made it to the state championship basketball game 1 year ago, they will not have any athletics for the entire school year at this point in time. And there's other school systems such as Mobile County. No word has officially come out. We know that middle school sports have been postponed, not canceled, just postponed, meaning that we're going to take a look at the numbers on a week-by-week basis, because, again, you don't want to say that they've been canceled, then have an opportunity to go ahead and have them. It's just, we talked about a week ago about the logistics of the middle school. We see now the Birmingham City Schools, they have canceled middle school sports. So there's a difference between postponement and cancellation of your high school sports. And I really feel for not only the coaches, but definitely the student athletes, because you're looking forward to it so much. But again, you just have to really say, okay, I'm having adults who are making decisions for myself and for my family, and I want to put my family first. But what I have liked to have seen this summer that continues to take place before school starts are these traveling baseball teams, are these traveling AAU teams, which does give those kids who weren't able to play the spring sports an opportunity to participate in some type of athletics instead of staying idle at home.
Exactly, and I think that's been done. I think they're doing a pretty good job. I hope that those organizations are taking the guidelines seriously.
There you go. That's the key too. And I think this past week, to where the Mobile Sports Authority, they had a huge AAU tournament here in Mobile, Alabama. You weren't able to come in without a mask on. They had the teams quarantined in rooms just waiting before they played, so you just didn't have a lot of loose people wandering around all the time. So the precautions, the hand sanitizing stations were there. It just, another dynamic that I want to talk about next week are the officials and the officiating, because officials having masks on, I had never heard of an electronic whistle before last week. And it's something that I really want to talk to Mark Jones about, how that changes your teaching of how to become an official. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
The Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lassiter, Leanne running our boards, and you can join us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines this morning. And joining us on that CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines is left-handed pitcher for the UMS Wright Bulldogs, Maddox Bruns, and he's going to be representing Alabama in the Perfect Game All-American Classic this fall. And when you start looking at the roster, he's the only player from Alabama on the East roster, and this game's going to be played September 4th at the Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Good morning, sir. Thank you for joining us, Maddox.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Maddox, I know Rick Cleveland would be here to talk a little bit about you, and I don't know if you had to sit through his history classes or not, but If you did, I know he would say how proud he is of you. And talk to us about going into your season this year with UMS Wright and this award that has been bestowed upon you.
Yes, sir. It's a great honor to represent Alabama at this game, and I'm ready to get the high school season started. Hopefully we can go win a state championship.
Now, you're a Mississippi State commit, and I know you had your season cut short, and because of that, I know it probably made you a little bit hungrier, but tell us a little bit about what your feelings were as a student athlete once the word came down that you would not be able to chase that blue map.
Yes, sir, it hurt a little bit, but I was able to just get a little break and put my head down and work and get ready for the summer, and hopefully we can come back even stronger next year and go win the state championship.
You've got a great high school coach in Kevin Raley. Talk to me a little bit about what Coach Raley means to you and how he's kind of helped and shape and mold you as a baseball player.
Yes, sir. He means a lot to me. He's been a mentor since I've been in eighth grade. He's helped me. He's seen me pitch bad. He's seen me pitch good. So he's always been there and supported me. And no matter what, he's always there if I need anything.
Mattis, where is this game going to be played this fall?
It's in Oklahoma City.
What's it called again, Coach? The All-American?
Yeah, it's going to be the Perfect Game All-American Classic.
And who's putting that on? Do you know?
I don't.
It's a Perfect Game, so it's like a showcase travel ball type thing, and
okay.
All the best players in the country go there, and it's their All-American game.
That is awesome, man. Well, congratulations to get selected for that, and for what I know that means to you, yourself, and your family, and to your program there. And you know, Coach Raley's a good friend of mine, and he is a good mentor, and he's a very good baseball coach. Tell me, what do you think as you go into this next year are some of the things, and I know most folks don't like to talk about themselves, but tell us about what you feel your better attributes of being a pitcher.
Hopefully I can help him at the plate and just be a pitcher and get some wins for him.
Which ball is your best, curveball, fastball?
Probably my curveball.
I hear you, baby.
Now, I tell you, when you're throwing that curveball, you know, you've verbally committed to the Mississippi State Bulldogs. But the great thing about it, when you start talking about high school baseball here locally within the last couple of years, you have players like Bubba Thompson and Jeremiah Jackson. Did you watch those young guys in high school and kind of follow their career now in the minor leagues?
Yes, sir. I've watched them. I've kept up with them, and I saw how they did in high school and after high school. I've been keeping up with them since.
No question. Ethan Hearn is another young player from Mobile Christian who was drafted into the Cubs organization. But when you start looking and find out that you're probably listed as the number 2 draft eligible high school player in the nation for class of 2021, what kind of extra motivation does that put in for you?
It puts a target on your back. Everybody wants to go out there and beat you, but it's motivation for me. Just everybody wants to beat me, so I just got to keep getting better and just keep working.
Now, this coming season, when the pandemic hit and you started your off season, did you do any travel ball, and what kind of strength and conditioning did you do to kind of keep yourself in shape?
For a little while there, the place I work out with shut down. Everything shut down, so I just had some friends. We'd go long toss at the field, and then I had a little weight set in my gym, in my garage. So we were just working in there. And then once the place I work out opened up, I was able to get back in there and get stronger and just get some work in.
We're speaking with Maddox Bruns, who is the left-handed pitcher at UMS Wright, ranked one of the top pitchers in the country, and he's going to be participating in a very elite baseball game this fall. How beneficial is it to have a fall baseball game preparing for a spring sport, playing against the other greatest players, high school players in the country?
It's good. It's just you see where you stack up, see how you perform against the best, and then just get me ready for the high school season, get a little break after that game, and get ready to go out there and win some baseball games.
And one last question for you. What is the thing that you're going to remember the most or you miss the most about high school baseball, being taken away your junior season, and what are you looking forward to the most going into your senior season?
I was close with all the seniors and everybody on the baseball team, so it hurt me seeing all my friends, not being able to see them every day and go out there and get on the baseball field, practice, games, all that. So I'm excited to get back out there with the team.
Maddox Bruns, thank you so much for your time this morning. I know you were in training when I called you this morning, so thank you very much for taking 10 to 15 minutes out of your busy Saturday morning to join us here on the Prep Sports Report, and we wish you nothing but the best moving forward.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you.
Maddox Bruns, another one of the prospects right here from the Mobile Baldwin County area. Again, anytime you have writers talking about being possibly one of the top 2021 prospects in the nation, that's very impressive, Coach.
You know, guy, a left-handed pitcher with a nasty curveball, those guys are hard to beat. They just are, because they're deceptive in what they're doing. Guys like that. I've never seen this young man pitch, but I can just visualize what he's doing and how Kevin Raley has, worked with him. His windup's going to be the same. You're not going to be able to tell, you know, what pitch is coming. And those guys, they're really tough on left-handed batters. You know, left-handed pitchers are a big deal. Everybody wants to get a left-handed pitcher. Have them in their lineup because they can be so effective. Not only does he have a curveball that is difficult to hit, you know, those fastballs at tail. I don't know, those left-handers, they throw this fastball that kind of falls off and bends it. Those things are hard to hit, and that makes it tough on right-handed hitters, even though the right-handed hitter can see the ball a little bit longer. But anyway, for him to be able to go into this next part of his life where he's going to get to play in a big game out in Oklahoma City with a lot of other great high school baseball players. Ought to be a lot of fun for him. And he seems like just a kid who's going to go out there and absorb like a sponge all the things he can learn, not just about baseball, but about being a teammate with people you don't know, about being a better player, how other guys do it. And what you get to learn when you go to some place like that, completely out of your comfort zone, you know. Those things to me are big. That's a big deal when you get out of your comfort zone, whole different group of people, and you can learn from them.
You know, he's being coached by one of the best in Kevin Raley. And Coach Raley, he's just a utility player himself, because I know when I was coaching at UMS, right, I would see him running the clock, and then I would see him tending to his baseball field. So Coach Raley is the one who got me in touch with Maddox Bruns. So I want to thank Coach Raley for giving me that opportunity and allowing his players to go ahead and speak with us here on the Prep Sports Report, because when we get a chance to promote our local players, I think that's awesome. And another local event that I was telling you about travel ball, you have the Babe Ruth 18 and under baseball tournament being held, and it's being sponsored by the Sports Commission, the Mobile Sports Commission, and there'll be players from Missouri, Colorado, South Carolina, to local teams, the Saraland area, the Fairhope area, along with the Alabama Raw Dogs, and teams from Texas will be at Hank Aaron Stadium, and I like to see that stadium's continued to be used in a great manner, in the manner in which it was built for, and having baseball teams being able to use that facility. If you want to go watch some great baseball, please do so at the Hank, and that's going all the way and through Tuesday. Again, that's the Babe Ruth 18 and under baseball tournament.
That ought to be a lot of fun watching those tournaments, and I'm so glad they're doing something at the Hank. What a great place that is. That thing's got a lot of memories in it for a lot of families and a lot of kids growing up in this area.
No question about it. A perfect minor league opportunity there that's no longer there, being used by high schools and travel teams as well. So thank you so much for those who go out and support that. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Always good to hear from my buddy Rick Cleveland during the break, making sure everything's running smoothly. And he just let me know that Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, located in Daphne, Alabama, is searching for a cook. So if you can cook, please give Matt a call at Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, and you can reach Matt at 251-621-1991. That's Boudreaux's Cajun Grill in Daphne, Alabama, looking for a cook, and you can give Matt a call at 251-621-1991. And joining us now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales and Communication lines is head basketball coach Raphael Graves. He's the newly named head basketball coach at May Jemison, just approved this past Thursday night. Coach, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to be on here. Thank you.
Coach, when I think about you, I think about what you were able to achieve at Sacred Heart. And you won four straight Class 1A state basketball titles, 2015 through 2018. Due to competitive balance, you got bumped up to 2A, and you still finished as the state runner-up to Central Akusa. But what a tremendous dynasty that you were able to coach and go through at Sacred Heart. And I know you learned a lot from winning that first championship versus winning that last one in regards to just how everything transpires and how hard it is to not only win one, but to win four consecutive.
It's very hard. The first one is always special because that was our first time ever being a lot of kids in the program. Everybody was so excited because it was new and nobody had ever been there. And then when you win another one, you know, it was like, okay, well, maybe we're really good. And then you win another one, and then you're like, oh, man. And then when you start getting to the end, like 2018 championship, it was more like everybody was like, oh, we know they're going to win it. So, you know, everybody's not excited no more. Everybody just, like, checking it up and just saying, you know, what else is new? But it was really hard. It was a lot of work put in early. A lot of long nights, a lot on the road. And I got to give a lot of credit to all the people that was around us at Sacred Heart. We had really good administrators, really good parents, really good kids, really good coaches. I mean, it was just the right time and the right place. And, you know, God blessed us with that run and that dynasty.
And that he did, Coach. And for those who don't know, Sacred Heart opted to suspend its athletic program back in May, and it left you kind of looking for a team to coach. And lo and behold, my buddy Howard Pride leaves May Jemison, and it gives you an opportunity to step into May Jemison, a place that Jack Doss used to coach at prior to Howard Pride having the job. And as you were winning your state championships at Sacred Heart, you saw May Jemison winning the 5A state championships.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. I wasn't really looking for another job. You know, I'm expecting a new baby boy here in a week or so. And we have a one-year-old. I was just really going to enjoy that time off, just being away from the game. Of course, I'd still be around it, but, you know, I didn't have to be on the sideline anymore, not just yet. And then all of a sudden, you know, May Jemison reached out to me, and, you know, the rich tradition that they have there, the ability, the resources, and the things like that. Like I said, Howard Pride done a really good job with those guys last year. Of course, Jack Doss, the best coach to ever coach in Alabama, high school coach. I just think, like, hopefully this is a perfect time and a perfect fit for me also.
When you start talking about taking over the May Jemison program, I know you have to be very excited. I know you're just getting an opportunity to meet your players and kind of get the transition moving up to Huntsville. Have you had an opportunity to reach out to all your players yet?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've actually, yesterday morning, I got to meet those guys. Didn't get to meet all of them, but I met majority of them yesterday morning. And today I'm actually riding over. We had a few kids that weren't there yesterday. They're playing over in the AAU tournament over in Birmingham, and my son and I, we're riding over here now to watch those guys play a few games. So, you know, I'm, like I said, really excited to meet those kids, meet all of them, meet the parents, you know. And I will say this, that the community up in May in the Jemison area, North Huntsville, has been very receptive and accepting of me. And that just made me feel so good, you know, and I'm just proud to be there.
Yeah, I think you'll do a wonderful job and an excellent fit. I mean, great facilities, great historic program. My co-host here, Mark Lassiter, he's from Butler, High School. He's a graduate of Butler High School, so he knows all about making that transition from Butler to Mae Jemison. And I know he's got a kind of not necessarily a trivia question. It is a trivia question for you, Coach. He's going to fire away.
All right, Coach, you ready? Now, look, I'm a 77 graduate. That tells you how old I am, okay?
Okay.
So this is going back in the day a little bit now. Back in the 70s, there was a great basketball player came out of Butler, played in the pros, for, I think, in Europe for a while. And to me, his best basketball player ever came out of Butler. Do you know who he is?
I do not.
Look up a guy by the name of Bobby Lee Hurt.
Oh, Bobby Lee Hurt. Yes, I do know Bobby Lee Hurt. Guy, too. I didn't know he played at Butler.
He did play at Butler.
Yeah, he is the best one to come out of that. That's true.
You see, I told him off the air, I said, he's probably thinking Trevor Lacy when you start talking about Butler being a little bit more new school. But Bobby Lee Hurt was the real deal, Coach.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he was the real deal. He was. Trevor was good also, but Bobby Lee Hurt, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that.
You know, there's a great player back then who came to South Alabama and played from Johnson High School. Was it Terry Catledge?
Terry Catledge. Mm-hmm.
And one night those two squared off in Johnson's gym, and you couldn't get in. The people were standing outside in the parking lot, couldn't get in to watch those two big men play. It was a great basketball game.
Oh yeah, those are good games right there with a packed house. But with COVID-19, I don't think we're going to have any packed houses this year.
No, you're right, brother.
You're right, Coach. And let me ask you this, Coach. Again, having an opportunity to win your first state championship, what did you learn as a coach from a maturity standpoint from the time you won your first one to the time you accepted that runner-up trophy going off of the stage at the BJCC?
Well, I think a lot of times people see the first championship that we had at Sacred Heart. People don't know that I was a part of a state championship team in high school. And I learned so much there of what to do, what not to do, because I was a player. And I got to see my coaches do a whole lot of things. And then I became an assistant coach, and I was a part of a state championship then. And I learned the do's and don'ts then. And then when I became a head coach, you know, it kind of fell into place, and you know, it was, you know, I was kind of groomed to be a coach. Now that I look back at it, I didn't know what I was, but, and then that first championship, I will say, we were very, very hungry, and I mean, real hungry, and just wanted to know. You know, I was very green as a head coach, because you make decisions as a head coach, and as an assistant, you only make suggestions. And it took me a time to adjust to that. And then about time we get to the end and we're playing Coosa and things like that, you know, I think a lot of people wanted to see, you know, when you win a whole lot, people want to see you lose. You know, they want someone else to win. And basically we needed to show those guys, and what I guess I learned was we needed to show those guys how to win, the people that are on the outside. And then once we lose, we need to show them how to be losers also. We took our runner-up trophy, and we took ours to the chin. We're happy for Central Coosa for winning the championship. And you know, those are some of the things that was the maturity point that I think we grew to.
And I tell you what, Coach, I enjoyed watching you grow as a head coach, because, again, looking at that first state championship that you won at Sacred Heart, they were like, who is this young kid? He looks like one of the players on the sidelines. And then you have an opportunity to continue to grow and win you another three after that one, and being bumped up, just handling that with class. And I just love the statement that you made. You know, God put you at Mae Jemison, being the new head coach at Mae Jemison for a reason. It's time to start a new wave, and I think you'll do an outstanding job there, Coach. And I look forward to continuing to watch the guys develop under your system, under your tutelage, and being able to make that transition from Sacred Heart to Mae Jemison. I know is a blessing for you and your family.
Oh yeah, it is, man. We like I said, we've been, it's been so exciting, man. And like you said, the success that I will say this, that the success at Sacred Heart wasn't the championship, you know, and I really figured out the success was when I was named the head coach at Mae Jemison on Thursday. I had all the players that I've coached. They were all calling me and telling me, Coach, I'm proud of you. Thank you, Coach, and things like that. And that's the success. That's what you really coaching for.
Raphael Graves, the new head basketball coach at May Jemison, will start his reign starting this 2021 season. We hope that there will be a winter basketball season. Get a chance to see your Jaguars in action. Look forward to that, Coach. Congratulations, and we look forward to having you many, many more times here on the Prep Sports Report.
Hey, man, thank you for reaching out.
Coach Graves, again, anytime you can win four consecutive state championships, I don't care what classification it is, it's very impressive, and he's taken over a tremendous tradition at May Jemison, taken over from my good friend Howard Pride, who did a great job there. And again, J.O. Johnson, before it became May Jemison, was very successful, and you're talking about Huntsville basketball that has always, again, for some reason, played a little bit better than below the Montgomery line because the lack of state championships that we've had or blue maps that we've had here in Mobile in boys basketball hasn't been there. And I think the proof is in the pudding when you start looking at McGill, Tulane, and LaFleur really being the last two boys programs that had an opportunity to win a blue map and bring it back to this Mobile Baldwin County area. So wish him the best, and looking forward to hopefully getting an opportunity to see him when the basketball season, if it starts on time in November, that's great. If it's pushed to January, we'll just keep our fingers crossed, taking it one day at a time with this COVID-19. The Camp Grace segment coming up next here on the Prep Sports Report. It's our favorite segment. You don't want to miss it.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Today I want to read a little story and talk about, you guys know how I like to put them together and what's going on in our world or what's going on in my life, and maybe it'll help somebody out there, I don't know. It's going to help me reading it again. But I want to read you this thing, it's called Black or White, and it's quite a story about how people see things. When I was in elementary school, I got into a major argument with a boy in my class. I have forgotten what the argument was about, but I have never forgotten the lesson I learned that day. I was convinced that I was right and he was wrong. And he was just as convinced that I was wrong and he was right. The teacher decided to teach us a very important lesson. She brought us up front of the class and placed him on one side of her desk and me on the other. In the middle of her desk was a large round object. I could clearly see that it was black. She asked the boy asked the other boy what the color was. White, he answered. I couldn't believe he said the object was white when it was obviously black. Another argument started between my classmate and me. This time about the color of the object. The teacher told me to go stand where the boy was standing and told him to come where I had been standing. We changed places, and now she asked me what the color of the object was, and I had to answer, white. It was an object with two differently colored sides, and from his viewpoint, it was white. Only from my side was it black. Sometimes we need to look at the problem from the other person's viewpoint in order to understand why their perspective is the way that it is. Man, I read that and I was like, this happens every single day just about in people's lives. If you interact with other people, it's going to happen. People are going to have different opinions. One of the issues that I have right now that I have a hard time dealing with is that if I have an opinion it is not my responsibility to make you believe that my opinion is right. That's not my job. My job is to know that I have my opinion and hold firm to my opinion, whatever that opinion may be. My parents taught me years ago, sometimes, believe it or not, I know y'all find this hard to believe, I am actually wrong. You know, I say that as a joke, everybody. But the point of this deal is if Corey and I disagree on a point or a subject or a philosophy or a religion or anything of that nature, we can discuss it. He has his opinion. I have mine. Doesn't mean either one of us is right or wrong. It's right for him. It's right for me. Does that mean we can't be friends? Heck no. It means I can love my brother the way I do today, the way I did when I first met this man. And I will continue to do so. I'll never forget his story about me being sick. We talked about it last week. That still means something to me. This story that I read this morning is for all of us to remember. Everybody in this world matters in some way, shape, or form. My mom and daddy matter to me. I need to make sure that I make sure they know that. Corey's mama matters to him. And because she does, she matters to me. You know, as I look at my life, gosh, man, Corey, I tell you what, brother, I wish there were so many times I could go back and say, Mark, just shut up. Quit trying to make everybody believe your opinion is right. Just know what your opinion is, accept the other person for theirs and their belief, and move on. Doesn't mean they're good or bad people. Just means they're different. Isn't that what God intended? If he'd want us all to be the same, he'd have made us all look alike. He didn't do that. We're all different. What God wants for us to do is how to intermingle all those differences and still love one another, which is his number one commandment.
No, Coach, that's a powerful perspective being brought to you this morning. And when you sit back, and like you said, that student seeing things from on the black side or seeing things on the white side, it just depends on your point of view. Does it make it right? Does it make it wrong? Because, again, looking at that same object, when I look at your heart, I may not agree with everything that you say, everything that you do, but it does not keep me from loving you any more or any different. It's okay for us to have a disagreement. We can agree to disagree. And many times in this studio, Rick Cleveland, myself, and you, we agree to disagree on a plethora of high school topics. And that's okay too, because that's where our experience has taken us. But when you're open-minded enough, when you use your mind as a parachute to absorb and listen to what other people's perspectives are, and to have a better understanding, especially in today's society where we were forced for 3 months or 3.5 months to be without touch, outside of the world, without being able to interact with our teammates, without being able to interact with our coaches, with seeing so much negativity on the television, it kind of forces you to have an open mind and appreciate the person next to you, regardless of what their beliefs are. And again, like you said, Coach, there was only one perfect person that I believe in and that I know personally in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that being said, Coach, just because you have a different viewpoint on whatever the topic may be, from academics to athletics to religion, it still refreshes me to know that I can love you the same for having a different perspective. And I think that's the great thing about the Camp Grace segment and allowing us to express that. And again, a very powerful and poignant presentation given by you this morning on different perspectives that people can have and still respecting those opinions just because we have different visuals, but being open-minded to someone else's views as well. Want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Prep Sports Report this morning. Jeremy Sullivan, the head football coach at Boaz, gave us a feel-good story to start this show. And if you have an opportunity to go back and check Prep Sports Report's Twitter feed or my Twitter feed, it is available there as well as on Facebook on Prep Sports Report. Maddox Bruns, the left-handed pitcher from UMS Wright, joined us this morning as well, talking about his all-star game that he'll be playing in. And new head basketball coach at May Jemison, Raphael Graves, rounded out the show. I got a text message apologizing from Adam Weingarten. Hopefully he'll be on the show joining us. We're going to make him do his conditioning drills for punishment, as he will be prepared to join us next week on the Prep Sports Report. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. We'll be right back here next week. God bless.